Not very subtle, am I?
Subtlety's way overrated.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Melrose Place. It's like a horn. Today's episode is Season 4, Episode 29, Melrose Unglued. And now, here are your hosts,
Sarah Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, listeners. Again with this, Episode 81, just for our Patreon supporters, is dropping January 28th. We will be watching Laura Layton in the Name of Love, colon, a Texas tragedy. Is this what we love about Texas? Please join us at patreon.com/againwiththis to find out that and many other things that we have watched for you, our supporters.
Yes, and you can find the link to that movie on YouTube in the show notes if you would care to prepare. If anything can prepare you. Who's to say? Mm. Let's talk about Melrose Unglued, shall we?
Yeah, why not?
Starting with our C plot, Joe's still dealing with this Tyler kid. Sydney's on her way out of her place when she runs into Joe and bitches her out for interfering with Tyler, which Lori blames Sydney for, and they part on unfriendly terms. That's basically it. And the next day, Matt goes to see Dr. O'Malley, who exposits that it's about Matt's application to be his TA. Dr. O'Malley hates butt kissers but loves eager beavers and says Matt is 2/3 of the way to success, and Matt asks what he needs to do to lock down the job, and shock of shocks, it's set Dr. O'Malley up with Joe. Inappropriate! Yeah. Not okay. Matt blinks and then realizes it's not a joke. Clip two.
Oh, I thought Joe and that whole situation would keep me from getting the job.
Well, true, I don't like being attacked by overzealous crusaders. But on the other hand, I do like overzealousness in women. Hell, I'd give her the TA job if she knew anything about medicine.
It's a very strange request, Doctor. It almost sounds as though if I don't set you up with Joe, then I won't get the TA job.
What's the secret clause in the Hippocratic Oath? You see, you scratch my back, I scratch yours.
I'll see what I can do.
Oh, I know you will.
I don't like, this guy's bad.
Yeah, this guy's bad, and it's a bad actor. And mm-hmm. I know that he was like some big shot on some other soap, but like the whole thing is just gross, and this episode order for the season is too long, and we're really about to slide off the face of good here in a big way. So everybody buckle up.
Oh, no. Mm. So when Matt meets Joe at Shooters later, she limps in, explaining that she fell off a horse shooting a beer commercial, which, one, it would be a beer ad if she's shooting it. She doesn't shoot commercials. And two, why would she be on a horse if she's shooting the ad? It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't get it.
There's no reason for her to be on a horse if she's working. Anyway, when Matt lightly shades her casual appearance, she's confused until she sees Dr. O'Malley is there and then gets furious at Matt and is barely civil when he takes off to get them all drinks. Barely civil to Dr. O'Malley, that is. He pretends to care about Tyler and Lori, and Joe says she hasn't seen them since Lori accused Joe of being an obsessed maniac and adds that Matt didn't warn her about this setup. And Dr. O'Malley guesses she wouldn't have come if she'd known, and she confirms that is the case. He has a very healthy ego and thinks she should be flattered by his interest, and she says she will only stay for one drink, which he thinks is plenty of time to win her over, and she snorts in disagreement. And apparently he's right, because after two drinks and a walk home, she admits to Dr. O'Malley that she loitered in the hopes that he would revisit Tyler's case. And he guesses she has a history in abuse, and she reluctantly admits that she is a survivor of intimate partner violence with her husband. She ignored her instincts for too long. And so he agrees to examine Tyler again, and Joe says Tyler and Lori are always at the park at 3 p.m. You know, the park.
Mm-hmm.
The park in Los Angeles? That's where they go.
Sure.
Cut to the park, where Lori is not happy to see Joe approaching with Dr. O'Malley. And honestly, this is on Lori for not changing up her routine once she knew that her child's stalker had learned it. But once Joe's
go to the lone beach in Los Angeles instead.
Yes. So once Joe's introduced Dr. O'Malley, Lori insists to both of them that she would never hurt Tyler. But if someone else were hurting him, wouldn't Lori want to know? She wants to be left alone, period. Clip three.
You're running from something, aren't you?
Doctor and clairvoyant.
Whoever it is you're covering up for, Lori, it does no one any good.
You're fishing. Admit it, this whole thing is just a fishing expedition.
Who is it, Lori? Is it an ex-husband? Somebody in the family? Whoever it is, you're not responsible.
Well, I am if it was my boyfriend and I allowed him into my home. Tony was so cool at first. And I needed a guy around for Tyler. Tony was out of work and he would stay with Tyler while I was at my job. The very first time I saw him hitting Tyler, I left. That day I left. I would never keep Tyler in a situation like that. I mean, I might not be much more than a kid myself, but Tyler is my kid and I love him.
We know you do. We know you do, don't we, Joe?
Gay, all better?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this ignores the parts where Joe saw him, like, wearing filthy clothes because Lori was making him, or, like, when she was shaking him real hard or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? It feels like they were writing the storyline on the fly and, like, just settled on this because they had to wrap it up.
Yeah. Which, okay, good, fine.
Yeah. So he opens, Dr. O'Malley opens his arms for Lori to cry on his shoulder while Joe says she didn't know, which, like, of course she didn't, because Lori did not tell her when she first brought it up, which makes no sense. But Dr. O'Malley wants to then call Child Protective Services in Chicago to make sure Tony stays away from them. Like, that's not a police matter?
I don't know. In another jurisdiction?
Yeah. Anyway, also, don't call from Los Angeles if you're worried that this guy is going to maybe, like, come and find them. Don't tell them where you are. Whatever. One last bit of Tyler for the road. Clip four.
Joe, Dr. O'Malley, Mommy, look, it's my friends.
If the reason they wrapped it up is because this kid couldn't handle the big moments, duly noted. So stipulated. And all better. Let's move on.
Yeah, no one wants kids on this show.
No.
Get rid of them. you know, like, it's not what we come here for.
No, it's really not.
All right, moving on to our B plot. Jane confides a dark secret in Allison. It is the morning after Jake and Jane's face off at her door. He brings her coffee and apologizes again. And Jane is more covered up than we've possibly ever seen her. She's in a turtleneck with a cardigan over it, as you can see in the visual aids.
Yes, a very long, flappy cardigan. I think I put this in the visual aids as the post-sexual assault turtleneck of television. Like, this is how they signify that. Yeah.
Anyway, she tells him she's the one who should be apologizing, but when he asks straight up what's happening, she claims she's just stressed about this deal that she and Richard just made in New York, and then gets testy when he tries to make sure that's all it is. And at Shooters that night, Allison has to call Jake on how salty he's being about her stool placement. It's not a euphemism. It's just really putting stools on the ground. He crabbily agrees that he shouldn't be taking Jane's weird mood out on Allison, but could Allison maybe get her to open up? And Allison begs him not to put her in the middle. So he abuses his power as her boss by giving her the night off to do that. Also inappropriate. Inappropriate a lot in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So at Jane's place, Jane complains to Allison about work and pretends to wish she had a job like Allison's, and then immediately realizes how condescending that sounded and apologizes. But Allison says she's right. It's only challenging when Jake is in a bad mood. Like tonight. What's he so pissy about anyway, Jane? Jane dodges, but then the phone rings, and Jane ignores it, but it's the past, so they can both hear as Richard leaves Jane a creepy message. Clip 5.
Jane, Richard. I know you're there. Pick it up. You can't hide from me forever, Jane. Jane.
Jane, what is it? Is it about Richard? What's going on? He raped me. Richard raped me. Oh, God.
So, I mean, I'm glad that they were making Richard a creep, and I'm glad that Jane is telling people, but then that's just where they leave it for days. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't understand. We don't know what happened after this exchange happened between Allison and Jane.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess there was other business to do before the end of the season, but guys, you need to... the prioritizing is not correct here.
Yeah. So some dimmer of days later, Allison's working at Shooters when Jane and Richard come in together. And when Jake sees Allison glaring at Richard, he says they come in after work sometimes and it's fine. And Richard imperiously asks Allison for 2 more stools for the clients who are joining them. But she curtly says they're not in her station and keeps moving, which is when Richard gets even creepier somehow. Clip 6.
You know, Jane, I really hope you've been keeping your mouth shut about New York.
Yeah, I have.
Good. Order those beers. I'll be right back. How you doing, buddy?
Richard to Jake. Okay,
we're all good then? Got it.
Yeah. The pacing on this is a little off because, like, it takes Richard that long pause to, like, pass him and for Jake to figure out what possibly might be up. But, like, you know, take it again.
Especially when it's exactly what he thought would be up.
Right. So. Plus sexual violence as opposed to
yes.
just something
right.
consensual, which is that was what he feared. This is worse, of course. But yeah, take that just one more take so that Richard like gets out of frame faster and we don't have to have that long silence before the score is like, something's up. Anyway.
Yeah.
So the next day, Allison is short with Jake, who confronts her with his suspicions that she knows something about Jane. And she doesn't really get him off her back by saying Jane swore her to secrecy and that he'll have to talk to Jane himself. And his hair in the scene, it's not really the point, but... It must be noted, the Caesar is back and it's bad.
It is both of those things. I feel like there's one hair person who like rotates back on and is like, nope, we're still trying it.
Yeah.
And everyone else in the hair trailer is like, this is stupid. He's a good looking guy. Just brush to the side. And then Tracy is like, comb, 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 spritz, mm-hmm. spritz. And he just looks like a doofus. Mm-hmm. It's not a good look.
It's very bad. And it's in the visual aids. So what fucking Jake and his dumb Caesar decide to do is sneak up behind Jane when she's trying to let herself into her apartment and grab her arm before getting in her face. Clip 7.
What'd you expect, Jane? I would just sit back and act like nothing was going on?
There is nothing to say, Jake. Everything is fine.
Are you having an affair with him? Is that it?
I want you to leave, and I'm asking you nicely.
I can't. Not until I know. Now, what really happened in New York?
Jake.
Damn it, I love you, and I'm losing you.
He Another raped me, all Brad. Right? Richard raped me.
It's Jake just leaving.
What's going on? What'd you tell him? The truth about what Richard did to me. And now he's gonna kill him.
And you didn't stop him?
No, I let him go. I want him to kill him.
Relatable.
This is a lot of not gonna help, guys.
No.
but we're so close to the finale.
Yeah.
Things need to be moved into place.
They do.
Finally, our A plot. Amanda saves Peter, no thanks to Michael, but the cable business isn't over yet. We pick up with Michael and Kimberly where we left off. Michael unconscious and bleeding from a head wound, and Kimberly standing over him holding a hammer. She talks herself through the situation. He's still got a pulse. He was hit from behind, so we didn't see who did it. And she starts messing up the place to look like he interrupted a burglar. But one of the things she does is pick up the fruit bowl and dump them on the floor. Like, it's the idea that the burglars were looking for cash at the bottom of the fruit bowl. Like, it's a weird choice.
It's so funny. Like, this is also in the visual aids, but like the things that are like, well, let's just toss the place and make it look like a burglary. First of all, that has almost never worked. Like, it's possible you could get past LAPD with it. Sorry, not sorry. But I mean, come on. But then to throw silver on the ground, like they would take silver.
Yeah.
And they also would not bother. Like, I mean, would they loot the freezer? Sure, they've seen movies before, but she's just like flinging everything around to mess the place up. It's not about making it look like a burglary. And the idea that, like, you know, oh, the old orange basket trick. Like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Come on.
And clearly the choices are like, what will be easiest to pick up if we get a second take of this? Which, like, that would be nice, but, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So then she grabs a couple of silver candlesticks and takes off out the back just in time to see Sydney approaching the front door. And Sydney drops her keys, which buys Kimberly some time to sneak up to the front door just ahead of her. Sydney is there to talk to Michael about a bookkeeping crisis, like someone embezzling funds from the practice to bail people out or invest in movies. Just wondering. Does not come up again. Sydney looks suspicious when Kimberly pleasantly invites her in, but this is not Kimberly's first rodeo, and she effectively sells her shock at seeing the joint tossed. And they find Michael together, and when Kimberly sends Sydney out to call for help, Michael wakes up confused, and Kimberly tells him the cover story. And he gasps that he could have been killed, and Kimberly darkly agrees he could have. So remember how Peter got arrested for assaulting Brandy in the last episode? We rejoin him in an interrogation room at the cop shop where Alicia is advising him again to pay off Terry, and he is heatedly insisting he'll never say he had sex with Brandy. And Amanda comes in on the end of this improbably, like, why would the cops let her go back there? She's not a lawyer. But anyway, she says Peter's not going to have to admit to anything, and then kicks Alicia out and tells Peter what she witnessed between Brandy and Michael at the hospital, or the hospital, no, the hotel. Peter's appalled, and Amanda is on it. It's the 90s. It's okay for a woman to rescue a man. And she kisses him intensely before carefully walking out, because you will definitely see this in the visual aids. Her skirt is so short, which, like, fine, it's Amanda. Of course her skirt is short, but it also has a slit.
Yeah. That goes up, like, to the middle of her crack.
Yeah.
It is so, and, like, watching her try to arrange herself, and this being the mid-90s, she probably had a thong on under this.
Yeah.
On this Grotsky interrogation chair that fucking probably Richard Ramirez sat in, and they did not clean it. In this interrogation room, like, just, like, looking at it and being like, this is how we lived and took the subway. Why? It's bonkers. And it's a lavender shiny suit.
Yeah.
Skirt. It's a bandage.
Yeah. It's too short. It's upsetting.
Mm-hmm. It is.
At the Burns and Mancini office, a sign on the door alerts callers that they're closed. Burns in jail, Mancini in hospital. Way to instill confidence in your patients, Sydney.
T-shirt.
Seriously. Anyway. Inside, Sydney reviews porn footage with Jimmy, clip 8.
Two more days of shooting, it's in the can.
I mean, I assume at least one scene is, am I right?
Oh!
Sorry. Just kidding, not sorry. Sydney writes Jimmy a check for her last installment on her investment, and he calls her the best producer he's ever worked with and the cutest, too. And why is she wasting her time on Bobby when she could have Jimmy? She might as well fuck Jimmy, I'm paraphrasing, since he knows Bobby's not giving it up. How does he know that? And this is when Bobby himself walks in, and Sydney flails like Kermit the Frog to shut off the footage before he can see it, but is too slow. Bobby is pissed and kicks Jimmy out. Sydney was trying to find something to get Bobby out of his mechanic job and never would have done it if she'd known it was porn, and also definitely did not ask what the film was, by the way, as far as we saw, before writing her first check. Bobby thinks it's funny that he came by to apologize for getting mad about the tattoos, which, really? Because that was two episodes ago, and you live together. But anyway, clip nine.
Oh. Apology accepted.
Damn it, Sydney. You want a relationship, and that's how you go about getting one. Making porno films.
Yeah?
No. Whatever it was, Sydney, and it was never a relationship. It's over.
I'm going back to Boston, kid. Yeah. Throughout this scene, he is unable to hide his amusement at her.
Yes.
Which I get, like, okay, he's not a good actor, but, like, also, it's Sydney. Just go with it.
Yeah.
Leave the show together. Save yourselves. This does not occur.
So then Amanda comes in to the hospital room to see Michael just in time for Matt to give up on treating Michael's peevish ass. And once Matt has gone, Amanda calmly accuses Michael of having slept with Brandy. He pretends to feel dizzy, but she still orders him to come clean on threat of telling Kimberly if he doesn't. And here's his tale. Clip 10.
In the first place, I thought she was over 18. And I had been fighting with Kimberly. And there I was, all alone in a strange city, drinking too much.
I didn't ask for excuses.
Okay. Yes, I allowed the kid to seduce me one time on the beach. So, what are we gonna do?
I'm gonna save your butt.
Ow.
That was her smacking him on his injured head. So he had not been fighting with Kimberly since Rita showed up.
Mm-mm.
A. B, he was dying to get home the entire time he was in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
C, don't call her the kid if you're trying to put a good face on this.
Yeah, slash say that you assumed she was 18.
Uh-huh. And yeah, stop shooting episodes three at a time. It's not serving you.
Yeah. Agree.
At D&D, Billy and his Muppet vest, it's back.
Ugh.
Pull Amanda aside to complain that she's keeping secrets and not treating him like a partner, which, shut the fuck up, you're not a partner. She notes that it's after six and he's usually gone by then. He's pissed that she hasn't noticed he's turned over a new leaf under which he found all her secrets, which is not what that expression means.
No.
But Billy would like to know what Terry, whom he somehow knows is the mother of the girl who is Peter's putative victim, is doing in Amanda's office. And Amanda chirps that Terry's waiting for her and keeps it moving. So in said office, Terry says she knows Amanda and Peter are involved. She's not interested in any offer she assumes Amanda has called her there to make, and loses the thread pretty quickly after that. Clip 11.
Nothing you do or say will make up for what that man did to me. To you. I was under the impression he did it to your daughter. Me, her, whatever. You know how men are. How indiscriminately they use people. They use you, your beauty, and they just toss you away the minute you're not their ideal anymore.
Oh, believe me, I've been through the same thing.
Not what I've been through. The lies, the heartache, it all started with Brandy's father.
He was abusive?
I wouldn't know. You see, I never even knew his name.
Yikes.
Yeah. It's
little dark for Lonnie, in my opinion. But all right, wrap it up, I guess.
I mean, she's doing well with it, I think.
She's fine. It's just like, Jesus. Like, I mean, the implication is that Brandy is a product of a sexual assault, which,
right.
If that's not the implication, this is really bad writing. And if it is, it's pretty irresponsible to do to a guest star. Like, just yikes.
Well, when something like this happens and it's a known enough of a known quantity like Lonnie Anderson is, that I assumed she was like, hoping to parlay this into a series regular job on something else.
Probably. And yeah, like, again, she's fine. She's not the problem. It's just a little like, yikes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The next day, Peter bursts into Amanda's office exclaiming that he can't believe she pulled this off, only to see she's not alone. Brandy and Terry are there, the latter gloating about Peter's jail stay. And Amanda exposits that Peter is free because Brandy and Terry dropped all the charges. Peter is wondering why. Just a change of heart, according to Terry. By the way, Brandy is the new face of Lady Day Cosmetics with a 2-year contract, and everybody is happy at this lucrative turn of events except Peter, since Terry and Brandy never admitted they lied, which he wants them to do now to Amanda, right now. And Terry tells Brandy not to say anything, but Brandy does claim it was entirely a lie to get revenge on Peter for not voting for her in the pageant, and she apologizes. And Terry prefers to flounce out, but not before delivering another little monologue, clip 12.
Yes, I'm sorry too. Sorry that scoundrels posing as doctors are allowed to walk the streets. I'm not worried though. You'll wind up trampling somebody else, and you'll get yourself back in trouble. You've got that look, Doctor. You're always conning somebody. Even dear Miss Woodward here, I'll bet. How are you conning her, Doctor? Let's go, Brandy. If we hurry, we can deposit the check before the banks close.
Terry's got your number, Peter.
I mean,
look, she accidentally does because he's on a soap. But
well, but and also, you know, he already tried to kill her.
Yeah, true.
Like the con has already happened.
Mm-hmm.
So and once it was they're perpetrated gone, by the writers. But anyway,
right. Once they're gone, Amanda and Peter can charm each other and also us. Clip 13.
So, how are you conning me?
Anything I have ever done or ever will do is because, well, you know why.
No, I want you to say it.
It's because I love you.
What was that?
You heard me.
No, I say it again.
No.
Don't say no. I heard what you said. Peter.
Nope.
I think you said you loved me.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
So cute. I love these two.
It is. Like, the weird thing, though, is that it's not like the Fonz being unable to apologize on Happy Days. Like, we've heard Peter say he loves Amanda tons of times, but, you know, they both sell it, and they are adorable.
Mm-hmm.
So then Peter goes to the hospital where Michael is packing up and apparently assumes Amanda has already told Peter everything about him and Brandy. Clip 14.
Now, partner, let's keep that temper in check. You know, I would have come forward as soon as I found out you were in jail.
Really? No kidding.
Yeah, I swear to God. But then I got bopped on the head by this burglar. You know, lousy timing.
Oh, don't sweat it. I'd have done the same thing if the positions were reversed. We're lucky we have such a good friend in Amanda. She really went on a limb for us on this one.
Great girl. Hey, you two back together? Of course you are. Gee, that's great. That's great. Listen, I decided I'm going to come clean with Kimberly, you know, confess the whole sordid mess, Brandy, the beach, the whole shebang.
She'll kill you.
Well, I'm willing to take that risk.
No, I mean, she'll really kill you, Michael. I'm serious. She's way too fragile for something like that right now, which is why I'm here, to let you know that Amanda and I are going to keep quiet on this one for you.
Oh, thank you, Peter, but I don't think Kimberly's that fragile anymore. You know, I think this knock on my head has actually knocked some sense into hers, if that makes any sense.
None at all. Yeah. Why don't you be smart for change, huh? Keep your mouth shut. That bandage okay?
Yeah, the nurse just checked it. I think so.
Let me take a look at that.
Okay.
Ah! Now, you ever pull a stunt like this Brandy thing again, and you'll know the true meaning of head injury.
Great partnership. Just yeah. Truly top notch.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all these machinations are such a waste of time, but like Wagner is at the absolute top of his game with this shit. I love it. I love watching it. It's very sexy.
Mm-hmm.
No notes.
So that night, Amanda's already in her velvet robe when Peter comes by to thank her. Clip 15.
I saved your butt, Doctor. You think $10 worth of flowers will do the trick?
Okay. Maybe it wasn't very creative.
but you know us doctors, we're all left brain.
In advertising, however, it's 90% right brain.
Well, please tell me, how do you suggest that I creatively go about expressing my gratitude?
You could take off your clothes.
My what?
Your shirt, your pants, your underwear, your clothes.
Why is he acting like this isn't what he wanted all along? Like, this is cute again, but like, this is what he wants, is to be boning her.
Yeah. It's true. And of course,
I mean, it's weird, but it still works. It's charming.
And it is truly shocking that Heather Locklear and Jack Wagner did not get together for real until years after this, because they're so into each other.
Yeah.
Anyway, everyone gets what they want. They bone. Elsewhere, Betsy is polishing the silver that Kimberly dumped out on the floor as Michael tries to confess to, he thinks, Kimberly about Brandy, and he keeps talking because Betsy doesn't reply, and when he finally stops, she calmly tells him to leave. He says he'll go for a walk on the beach, going out the front door, not the one that, you know, opens onto the beach, but it's so she can throw the knife she's holding so it sticks in the wooden door after he's gone. And the next morning, we learn that Betsy locked Michael out overnight. Kimberly tells him he has to move out for his own good. And he asks if he doesn't get any points for confessing, which, like, to sleeping with a minor? No, there's no points for that. No points awarded. Sorry.
Mm-mm.
But Kimberly wearily says it's not about that. Clip 16.
It's dangerous for you to be anywhere near us.
Us? What are you talking about? You got somebody in there?
No, I'm talking about the relationship, okay? Us, the two of us. You're not good for either of us. It's not that I don't love you. It's just... Please go. Please go before it's too late.
She's afraid she's going to try and kill him again, of course. He does not get that. And apparently neither of the doctors has returned to the practice, because when we return to it, Jimmy is nervously pacing and expositing about a meeting that he and Sydney are about to have with a distributor. But Sydney doesn't care about that anymore now that Bobby is gone. Clip 17.
Moron thinks he's happy or poor. God, if only his father hadn't taken away his business, we'd be, I don't know, maybe even in love by now.
Yeah, only his father didn't take away his business.
What did you say?
Bobby's dad never touched that cable company. Bobby was set up by someone else.
Who? Tell me who.
Whoa,
who did
it? Hey, easy with the jacket.
Sorry.
It was his lawyer, I heard. She and someone she was doing.
How does this guy know that?
Yeah. But was that in the trades?
Honestly.
Trades.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter. Finally, Sydney puts everything together. Jimmy does not care, but Sydney does, because she may finally have something that will get Bobby back. And then Sydney's in the hangar where Bobby is looking foine with his hair slicked back and safety glasses on, buffing a plane wing.
Oh my God. Yes. more plane buffing, less dying. Spoiler.
Yeah, I was going to say, enjoy it while you can. He is not interested in Sydney's attempts to get him back. And she babbles for a while before finally telling him it wasn't Vince who set him up. It was Peter and Alicia, and he orders her to leave because he's got a lot to think about. And then we find out that Kimberly invited Peter for dinner and waited until they were on coffee before telling him that Betsy is back and she was the one who hit Michael with the hammer. She used to be mostly Kimberly with a little Betsy, and now it's the other way around. And Peter wants to check her into a facility before this gets even further out of control. And she was hoping that he would suggest that, but wonders where they'll say she is. Medical convention, then other more creative lies. She's fine with that. Then she takes a sip of coffee, changes into someone else, and excuses herself to the ladies' room. He says he'll meet her outside, but he won't because she slips out the side door. And then Alicia is entering the dark offices of the medical practice looking for Peter when Bobby steps out of the shadows. He tricked her and Peter into meeting each other there so he could confront them. Why did they do it? Clip 18.
Bobby, I swear to God, that was all Peter's idea.
Hey, to get Amanda back.
He was using me!
Bull! You destroyed me. Bitch, you and Peter both.
Ah! Okay. So the end
and
of that.
So it was that the building was condemned. To death!
The end of that was Bobby stepping toward Alicia, a 110-pound Alicia grabbing a golf club off Peter's desk and hitting Bobby with it hard enough to propel his 250-pound ass out the world's thinnest high-rise window to his
feet desk. First, by the way.
Right. And Alicia looks out the hole in the window as a small pool of blood forms under Bobby's head on the plaza and covers her mouth in horror. And after a commercial, it's the next morning. Peter is cheerfully letting himself in at Amanda's after trying and failing to find Kimberly all night. Amanda has to break the news about Bobby and that the cops are looking for Peter. Kimberly is Peter's alibi, so he leaves to deal with all that. And at D&D that night, Amanda sends that redheaded functionary home and then checks her voicemail, hoping for a message from Peter. But that's not what she hears. Clip 19.
Hey, gorgeous. It's me, Bobby. Guess where I am? And Peter's office. Anyway, so you know, it was Peter who set me up with that senator. The contributions, he sank my reputation. So you dumped me, and he could have you all to himself. And how about that? It worked. Oh, gotta love the guy. I never thought the most important thing to you was honesty. Wait, somebody's coming. I think it's Peter. Gotta go.
Pretty good drunk acting. Well done.
It is good. I don't know how she didn't hear this message until now. Like, she's been at work. But anyway.
Yeah.
At the hospital, that middle-aged blonde desk nurse doesn't know where Kimberly is, but does tell Peter the cops are there for him. They know that Peter and Alicia collaborated in a scheme to slander Bobby, which I think since it was reported to the media, it's technically libel. But Peter neither confirms nor denies that, but claims not to know how it would relate to Bobby's death, which, really?
Okay.
It seems like a pretty straight line to me, but he's going to his office to talk to the cops when he gets an emergency call. He assumes it's Kimberly, but it's Alicia calling from her car to say goodbye. She evaded the cops and went on the run because she killed Bobby. And somehow Peter's response is not LOL how, but this, clip 20.
Alicia, you need to turn that car around and get back here. You see, the police are under the impression that I killed Bobby.
Sir, who are you talking to?
Are you listening to me, Alicia? They want to put me in jail.
I loved you so much. I still do.
Well, then turn around and get back here. Now, I won't let anything happen to you. I care for you. I'll help you.
Okay. I'll turn around and I'll come back.
Alicia, before you go, I need you to talk to the officers.
Head-on collision with a semi.
Alicia? Are you there? Alicia, you there? I'm losing you. You're breaking up. Alicia! Alicia, answer me!
Focus pull to her cell phone, which she had dropped under the seat, mm-hmm. on the pavement, on its side, mm-hmm. talking to no one.
Mm-hmm. I love the detective standing right next to him when he's like, Alicia, Alicia, Alicia. He's like, who are you talking to? Like, who do you think?
Like, Bob, you bonehead. Fucking LAPD.
Anyway, that's where we leave this episode. Mm-hmm. Damn, quite a bloodbath. Let's close it up with our episode MVP. I mean, that golf club really got the job done.
Peter.
Yes. And Jack Wagner, both.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Really, the Jack Wagner.
Least valuable player. Richard continuing to be the worst.
Yeah. I'm comfortable with that.
All right.
Next time on Again With This, in which our heroes are shocked, stunned, and saddened. Shocked, Peter, by Kimberly, who has taken him hostage in an abandoned mental hospital. Stunned, by yet another doomed-to-fail heel turn for Jane. And saddened, when the writer's idea of a plot for Matt involves a tainted needle stick. We are shocked, stunned, and saddened that it's still not going to be the season finale next time, and you will be shocked, stunned, and saddened by our visual aids, which you can find for this and every other episode of Again With This at againwiththispodcast.com. You'll also find links to our very special 90210 book there, and you can follow us on Twitter at AWT90210. Please join our Patreon page at patreon.com/againwiththis to get extra episodes for any level of support. I'm Declaration of Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is hands-free driving PSA Tara Ariano. She's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer understands the true meaning of head injury. He's David T. Cole. Talk to you next time.
Uh-huh.